Let's learn. Okay, let's learn. This week, let's first discuss. Yeah, I want to spend some more time going over the Hilcha Shabbos of opening up packages, boxes, bottles, tissue boxes, and all these different things. We'll spend some time at the end if we have. But first, I want to discuss something that is pressing, and that is this week is Parsha Shkolim. We begin this week the Dalid Parshios. Okay, now in the season of Geula. When you start the Dalit Parshios, that takes you all the way to Pesach, the season of Geula. The reason why Purim is an Adar Sheni and not an Adar Rishon, because we misoimech Geula leGeula. And one of the most significant ways that we are setting Geula leGeula is by grouping together the Dalit Parshios. I think that really says it all. What would have been if Purim would have been an Adar Rishon? Then they're not Dalit Parshios. The Dalit Parshios is a group. Now they're not exactly, you know, we don't do the Dalit Parshios one week after another. There's a Hafsaka. There's a week where there's a break in between, because the way the calendar works out. But they are definitely grouped. They are definitely grouped into a group. And what are the Dalit Parshios? Dalit Parshios, of course, is first is Shkolim, and then comes Zohar, then comes Para, and then comes HaChodesh. So what is Shkolim? Shkolim, let's just do the basics. We have Shkolim, we have Halach, that Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Korbanos have to be, the Korbanos of the Tzibur must come from communal funds. And the communal funds must be renewed every year. The leftover money from the previous year has to be basically discarded. Not discarded entirely, it's going to be used for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not going to be available to be used to purchase the Korbanos. The money that is used to purchase the Korbanos of the Tzibur must come from the current Tzibur. The Tzibur of this year, the Tzibur has to be current, and therefore there must be renewal, and the renewal must come on starting with Chodesh Nisan. Everyone has to give in advance, everyone has to give in the month of Adar is when the money is collected, and the announcement in Talmud Chazal was made on Rosh Chodesh Adar. But being that we are in Golus, and we don't all come together very often, the only time when we come together at best is on Shabbos Chodesh. So the announcement is made on the Shabbos before Chodesh Adar. Now today no one's giving money to the Beis HaMikdash because there's no Beis HaMikdash, but instead we still do Zecher LeMikdash. It's a very fascinating thing. How many things do we actually do today that we can mamish say Zecher LeMikdash? There are not all that many. Tzvi'as HaOmer is probably the most significant thing that we do to Zecher LeMikdash. When there was the Beis HaMikdash, they brought the Omer, the Tzvi'as HaOmer, they counted. Bisman said there is no carbon Omer, so when we count after Pesach to Shavuos, that is one of the most significant things that we do today that is called Zecher LeMikdash. What else do we do Zecher LeMikdash? Koirech on Pesach. Koirech HaYo'echel Pesach Matzah U'Morar Hillel with Koirech Pesach Matzah U'Morar U'Echel Miyachad. Because when there was a Beis HaMikdash, then in Echanam you have to eat all three together. You have to eat al Matzois U'Miroirim Yochlu. So when there is no carbon Pesach, then there is no need to bring together the Moror with the Matzah. Mor and Matzah is only a mitzvah when you also have inside of it the Pesach and you need a carbon Pesach. The Zman said there is no carbon Pesach, so there's no need whatsoever to eat the Moror together with the Matzah. In fact, there's no need to even eat the Moror. Moror is only a mitzvah midrabanan to eat Moror, the Zman said. To take the Moror and eat it as a sandwich with the Matzah, that is a Zecher LeMikdash. When there was a Beis HaMikdash and there was a carbon Pesach, all three were grouped together. Zeicher leMikdash kein osa hil bezman shabeis hamish leKayim haYikarich Pesach Matzah Mor veOchel miYachal leKayim Mashenemar al Matzahs uMeirarim yOchelu. So far we have already three. All of the we have the Shkolim zina the three. Oh, Hakofos Arava, the Arava. This is Divrei Kabbalah on Hashanah Rabba to circle the bima. Holding the Dalit Minim, this is what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. They walked around the Mizbeach with they put the Mizbeach, it's not the different opinion exactly what they did in the Beis HaMikdash and what we do today, but everyone agrees that what we do today by walking around the Bima with the Lulav and Esrei, the Hakavos, really the entire Sukkos Zecher l'mikdash. So we've already cited at least four examples of Zecher l'mikdash, and they're all very significant in their own right. Probably Machsa Shekel is the most significant. You know why? It costs money. Now you'll tell me Lulavan. Oh, so you'll borrow someone's Arba Minim. Let's say you get it on a discount, you get it for free, you get it. But Machsa Shekel, you gotta pay. That's the way. Matzah. You go and you guest. There's not to be Lochem. You're saying go, yeah, you're saying it's only go. You're saying the matzah, you have to ask to be your matzah. You're right, okay, I take it back. But matzah, but see, it's a little bit different. Matzah, anyway, you can eat dinner. Right? Anyway, you can eat dinner. Anyway, you can eat something. So you'll have matzah instead of having cornflakes. Okay? But when it comes to matzah shekel, you have to take out of your pocket. You got to go to your savings account and take out a matzah shekel and give matzah shekel. So we have over here at least, okay, I'm sure there are many more examples, but there are at least four examples of zecher l'mikdash. We are required to renew the funds to purchase the korbanos, and the announcement was made on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Rosh Chodesh Adar this year is Thursday, Friday. Okay, next week, Thursday, Friday is a Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, b'yom hachamishi uvayom hashishi. Adar Beis, Rosh Chodesh Adar, what do they say?
Erev Shabbos
Chodesh. And Erev Shabbos? You don't say.
Yom HaShvi.
No, Yom HaChamishi, Uviyom. You say Erev Shabbos? You say Erev Shabbos? You make the answer. Uviyom Erev Shabbos Chodesh.
Yes.
Okay, so let's get this clear. Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. Okay, you say Sheni, yeah, b'yoyim hachamishi, uv'yoyim. No, l'macharosa, that's a pashat. Okay, so let's talk and discuss this. This is a very good thing you discuss. Now, when we hear Bali Tzila say, whatever the month is, and they say there are 2 days. So typically, you're saying something very interesting. Typically, what I'm accustomed to, I don't know, and I know there are many minhagim. Do you, when there are 2 days, do you say ule mocharosoy, and on the next day? So typically, what I'm accustomed to, if one of the 2 days is Shabbos, then you separate between the first day and the second day with the word ule mocharosoy out of respect for Shabbos. For example, if it's going to be Friday Shabbos, B'yoyim hashishi, ulemocharosoy b'yoyim Shabbos Kodesh. Or b'yoyim Shabbos Kodesh.
No, yeah. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, not Yom Hashishi. Erev Shabbos Kodesh.
Oh, so you say something interesting. I don't know. That's how your Rebbe said. Yeah. Right? Zis holds. Like you'd say Erev Shabbos. Okay, so it's Kedai to know. It's Kedai to look this up and see what your meaning is.
See what
your meaning is. Not even Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Okay, they're different hugging. Rabbi Zitzholz was a Baal Mesoira. He was a Baal Mesoira. But not everything he did. He had different nusach. Not everything that was different to Mechai Yisrael. But typically speaking, when you go out into the world, you will find that if it's a Monday, Tuesday, a Sunday, Monday, whatever it is, if the 2 days are, you don't have Shabbos, you do not say the words Ule Mocharosoy. If one of the 2 days is Shabbos, whether it's Shabbos Sunday or it's Friday Shabbos, then the common minig is to be mavdil between a Yom Chol and a Yom Kodesh by saying Ule Mocharosoy. Now, you brought up an interesting point. Now, Yom HaShishi, how do people say Friday? So I don't remember, I don't pay attention. So Baruch is saying that by your Rebbe, by Zitzholz, he would be makbid to say, refer to Friday, uviyoyim erev Shabbos Kodesh. You never heard that?
No.
I don't recall. B'yoyim, so
I heard it for 42 years.
Rabbi, the Amts for Rabbi,
yes, yes.
Just makes a difference. If Shabbos is Friday,
it doesn't make differentiation in the article Siddur?
No. Vayom Shishi, Vayom Shabbos Kodesh.
Okay.
It's the same week.
Interesting. Fascinating.
But aren't you quoting the Pasuk?
Fascinating. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
According to the Sefer Hasid, that he only say about Russell because it's a new week.
That's a week.
Okay.
Yeah. Sunday, the Shabbos is something like that, like what you just said.
Okay,
the
very.
So is Sunday, only when the second day is Sunday, you say Lema Cross, so because it's a new week.
Okay.
And that's the reason.
Okay.
The article is like that.
Okay, so the article is saying two different things from Rav Baruch. Number one, they refer to Friday as Uviyom Hashishi. They do not call Friday Uviyom Erev Shabbos Kodesh. And number two, you never say between Friday and Shabbos Ule Mocharosai. That's you don't do. Fascinating. Okay, so I don't know why it's in my mind. This is what I'm accustomed to. I think in Chayim Balin they say Ule Mocharosai between Friday and Shabbos. Right? They do say Ule Mocharosai. And otherwise they just say, they don't say. Okay, there are obviously different minhagim. There are different minhagim. But what is very interesting is according to Rav Baruch Horowitz, he's a gabbai for over 40 years. And his Rav was makbid to not refer to Friday as just a Yom Shishi, but to call Friday Erev Shabbos Kodesh. And then in addition, because already you're calling it Shabbos, you're saying that your Rav would say, Uviyom Hachamishi Ulu Mocharosai B'yom Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Once you're already saying Friday, you're calling it and you're giving it the status of Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, it already deserves a separation with the word Ulu Mocharosai. Is that correct? So you for sure said Ulu Mocharosai when it was Friday, Thursday, Friday. What? Even Sunday, Monday? Oh, okay, that's the way of a raya anymore. So Baruch is saying that by him, they always would say Ulu Mocharosai between Sunday, Monday, no matter what. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, doesn't make a difference. Okay, that's not common. That's not common. Okay. All right. So all we should be aware of is Nir Shem Rosh Chodesh is on Thursday, Friday. Most of us are accustomed to saying Uviyoyim HaChamishi, Uviyoyim HaShishi. No Ulu Mocharosai. Most of us do not refer to Friday as Erev Shabbos Chodesh. We just call it Uviyoyim HaShishi, and we refer to it Adar Sheni. We don't call it Adar Beis. Okay, the meaning is to say Adar Sheni. We don't say Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. All right. So that is the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, and there are the Dalei Parshiyos and the Dalei Parshiyos first. So therefore, we're going to have Parshiyos Shkom. It's the purpose of Parshiyos Shkom is only to make an announcement that everyone should give money a machzis hashekel in order that the Beis Hamikdash has fresh funds for the communal korbanos. And then the next we have a break, a Shabbos Hafsoka. Parshas Pikudei, there is no, only one Sefer Torah, and then we come to Parshas Vayikra, the hardest parsha to learn. Rabbi Yisai, I don't know about you, Parshas Vayikra is I personally believe is the most difficult parsha. Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree with me on this, because every pasuk has the same words, a par, keves, a shor, and the trop, and the expression, there are many different korbanos. And to keep track of the trop, it's extremely, extremely difficult to keep cheshbon. You have to really know what you're laning in order to have it down pat and not make any mistake in the trop and in the
soif. What really engraves it into your head of parish is if you taught it to a bar mitzvah boy and you said it 5,000 times and sook him, then you know it well.
Then
no
you know well.
Which parish it is.
So Parashat Vayikra will be Parashat Zohar. Okay, Parashat Zohar is the mitzvah of Zechiras Mechias Amalek. And then it's Parashat Para, the Tahara of Klal Yisrael, in preparation for the Karim Pesach. And then it's HaChodesh Zelechem Rosh Chodoshim. And these four Parashiyos are grouped in order, in a number. Four. Talmidei Chacham are called Sofim, because they like to count. And when you count something, you put them into an order. It is not, the very fact that the Dalei Parashiyos are grouped together, which seemingly have nothing to do with each other. What does Parashas Shekolim have to do with Parashas Zohar? What does Parashas Zohar have to do with Parashas Parah? What does Parashas Parah have to do with Parashas HaChodesh? What do they have to do with each other? They're completely separate things. Why do Chazal call these Parashiyos the Dalei Parashiyos? They're four different special weeks. We have to make an announcement for the shkol. We have to go and we mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of zechiras mechias amalek. And there's a minute that we should understand. We have to purify ourselves in preparation. My Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, why are these four grouped together? So this is what I want to present to you today. There's a very significant reason. When the mitzvah of Machsa Shekel, what does it say? What does the pasuk say? It says, Kol ho'iver al ha'pikudim. All those that are oiver pass through the numbered. Miben, Estrim, Shon of Amala, over 20 years, only males, they have to go give the Machsa Shekel. So we're dealing here with bringing korbanos. So first of all, it's very a little bit strange. Why only males? Nashim don't need kapara. They don't need kapara. A mezuzah. Chazal, a nashim chayiv in the midst of a mezuzah. A woman lives at home. Does she have to put a mezuzah on her? Let's say a woman lives alone. Does she need to put a mezuzah on her home?
Yes.
Why not? So why not? Why would women, can you say it's not a mezuzah? Maybe the Gemara asked the question. I remember the Gemara, maybe it's Chukash, maybe because it's compared. Because the pasuk compares mezuzah to tefillin, is that the Gemara asked this question? That there's an argument to be made that women are not obligated in the midst of mezuzah. I think it's because the mezuzah is compared to tefillin. The hukash lahadad in regard to many different halachas, a mezuzah and tefillin. And if a woman is not chayv in tefillin because it's a mitzvah, says she has one grandma, they should not be chayv in mezuzah either. And the Gemara outright rejects it. Only men need to live. And women don't need to live. It says in the mezuzah, "Leman yibu yimeichem v'meivneichem al hodam v'ashen nishvashem lazechem." And noshim boichai v'noshim loy boichai. What kind of ridiculous thing is that? Of course, the women have to have a mezuzah. Also, women also need to have a zuchus of protection and to live. So you can say the same thing when it comes to the machsa shekel. What's the purpose of the machsa shekel? To bring korbanos. And what are the korbanos to the klal yishol? Kapara l'chai peral nafsho seichem. The women don't need kapara. The women don't need kapara. And yet the halach is noshim apater. The potter, okay, they want to give, you can give, people give. There's a whole thing, a father gives for a child, this and that, you give. What about children under bar mitzvah? They don't need kapara. Everyone needs kapara, an infant needs kapara. So why is it in the Machsa Shekel, me'ikar hadin is only for adults, male adults from 20 years and older? Number two, why is Machsa Shekel only called for the pekudim, the counted? Let me turn to the pasuk. It's a very short aliyah. There's only a few sukkim, less than 10 sukkim. Is the parasha of Machsis Hashekel. Okay, kisisas roish v'neishol lefkudim. We're going to lift up the roish of the Jewish people lefkudim according to their number. Their number. V'nasnu ish koifer nafsho atonement l'Hashem b'fkoyd v'sam v'lo yinegu v'Hashem zeyinu kol ho'iver al ha'fkudim. What is this all about? Zayidnu, machza shekel, b'shekel ha'kodesh, my high. So the answer I want to suggest is, what is over here? Let me see over here, what is over here in the Rashi. Derech ha'menudim ma'avirim es ha'nimnin ze'ach ezeh v'chein kol asher yavor tachas ha'shov. V'chein ta'avor na'atzen ha'idei mo'ne. My, what is this going on here over here? So I want to suggest the following. The Pekudim refers to those who got into the army. Like it says in the Chumash Devarim, when the Psukim in the Chumash, in Chumash Bamidbar, in the Book of Numbers, when it mentions there in Chumash Bamidbar, the Pekudim there is referenced to the Tzva, the army of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, they fought Milchamas, come to Eretz Yisrael, Milchamas Mitzvah. Whenever you mention this nusach, kol ho'iver al ha'pikudim, you are connecting yourself to the army, the tzivos Hashem, the army of Hashem. That in the army, who went out to fight in the army? You had to be over 20 years old. In the army, those that were pikudim for, okay, I don't have the psukim on the tip of my tongue, but in Chumash Bamidbar, in the beginning of Bamidbar, where it talks about those who go out to fight, and they're counted and they're numbered. In the army, you have to count, people have to be counted. You gotta know the troops. You take a count. How many soldiers, the battalion, the Sar HaChamishim, Sar HaElef. Numbers count a lot. 180,000 now. the numbers count. Numbers count a lot when it comes to war. You have to know the soldiers. There is a flavor of war in Machsa Shekel. The money that you collect in the Machsa Shekel is going to purchase animals to buy korbanos for the kapar of Klal Yisrael. But the way it's done is through a draft. It's through preparation for war. What war? What's the war? What are you fighting? Who are you fighting? That's the Dalai Parashas. The war is Amalek. The Dalai Parashas, the reason why Parsha Shkolim and Parsha Zohar are connected, it's not just, oh, gotta make an announcement, we need money, an appeal, Beis HaMikdash needs money. That's right, it needs money for the new Korbanos, Kapara. We're preparing for war. When we come to Chodesh Adar, it's war. What's the war? We're being mekayim the mitzvah this month of Melchemes of Mechias Amalek. Purim. Purim is a war. Purim is a war. Lahashmid laharog ula abed es kol hayehudim. Minar v'yad zokin taf v'noshim b'yom echad. There's no greater call for war than when your enemy says, we're going to wipe you all out. Every last one of you. It's a call for war. Who's calling for Amalek? It's not enough to come to Parsha Zohar. Oh, Parsha Zohar. Oh, Zohar, right? Everyone come to shul. That's not the way it goes. That's not what the mitzvah. The mitzvah is, like someone once, there was a maizu, I think it was the Briska Rav, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's not the Briska Rav, I do like the Briska Rav, there was a fellow who was a real Briska, and he spent his whole Shabbos, nothing better to do, from going from shul to shul, hearing every possible Havara of Parsha Zohar. This should in the Svardisha Havara, in the Litvisha Havara, in the modern Hebrew Havara. He went from every single shul to hear all of the nuances, Zecher and Zecher, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Oh, oh. And when he finished his day, he was proud. He heard Parsha Zohar 50 times from every Baal Kriya in Yerushalayim. And he told this to the Briska Rav, you see, you think you're a Briska? I'm a Briska. I heard it every possible tenua. So the Briska Rav said to him, you were in Yoytze. You were not Yoytze. What do you know we're in Yoytze? I spent the whole day on this. He says, are you ready to go to war? Are you ready to pick up arms? And I'll give you a weapon now. I'll give you a weapon. Will you go out now and kill some Amalekim? Will you go? Even, I mean, maybe I'll identify for you who are the Amalekim. Are you willing to be moiser nefesh to give up your life to go and kill Amalekim? Tell me, yes or no? He says, no. You weren't Yoytze. The purpose of Mechias, of reading, is Godol Limud. Shel Limud Mevi Lidei Mais. The purpose of reading what it says in the Torah is to do. This is not a, you know, the Pesach Seder in a hotel somewhere. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. I'm not trying to say, I take that, I don't mean to, I'm just making some jokes here, you know. If you go and you hear...
That's what you say every day in Avarachah. Lil Mo Lop, English for
Velasois. Lakayim. Exactly, Lakayim. This is what it's all about. Are you gonna go kill Amalekim? I'll tell you who they are. We'll figure out who they are. You gonna do it? No. Why not? Because we can't. That's how it is. We live in a world of peace and tranquility. Yeah. We get very disturbed. We hear war. We're all shaken up. We don't like to hear about war. That's not the way we do things in the 21st century. We don't do this. It's not very comfortable. We get a little nervous. What? We used to not. Halavai. It's very uncomfortable to hear about war, about death. We don't
even know them all they come on today.
What?
We have a war. You don't know who the enemy is today.
Let's say we'll figure him out. We'll be machmir.
No. That's not the real world, Bradley. Don't do that.
Let's say, for argument's sake, we were able to identify. Let's say, for argument's sake.
I want Tachal Samai, so we don't know who they are.
Even if we would know. Let's say we would know who they are. Theoretically speaking, let's say we would know who they are.
That's hypothetical.
Why is hypothetical? If we were to know who they were, would you be willing to go and kill them? No way. You wouldn't even have a hava amina to go out bisman hazeh in Golis to have a hava amina to go engage in violence. No one would dare do so today. Even if we were able to identify who they were, why can you say that? Let's say the growth, there's a tradition that they're not too many left Nazis, okay, who have escaped. We know for a fact these people, they murdered Jews in the Holocaust. You could find someone still alive. You're not going to say they're from Amalek.
Are they?
I don't know. But let's say someone would prove to you that they are. Would you? You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. No one would do it today. That's not the way we do things in the 21st century. We don't do these things. That's how it is. No one's going to. So the Briskarov says, you ready to go? You ready to engage in battle? Really? So you're not Yotze. Don't go tell me you went and spent the whole day running around listening to every Havara, Parsha, Zohar. You wouldn't engage in battle, Memela. It's not Limud, Shenevi, Lidei Maisa. That's not what the mitzvah of Zechira, Smechia, Samalik is all about. Also, why then do we today, are we all obsessed with going to your Parsha, Zohar? No, we do the best that we can do. We go, we hear the Parsha, we listen to the Parsha. Whatever it's worth, it's worth.
We raise our consciousness.
But is it a real Kiyum HaMitzvah? So the Briskarov said it's not.
Okay.
It's not. But what do you take out of the Briskarov? What do you take? What is the Yesod? Is that when you go and you hear the mitzvah of Zechiras Mechias HaMolek, the real mitzvah is to be prepared to go to battle. What better preparation could there possibly be for Parsha Zohar than Parsha Shkolim?
Because the question, are we ready for the Vias HaMashiach? Animan. Okay. Yeah.
What? We're coming to Purim. Let's clarify. This is the question we're trying to understand. Yeah, okay. This week, we're starting a series. We're starting a series of Dalit Parshias. Why do Chazal group the Dalit Parshias in one package? They have seemingly nothing to do with one another. There are four practical considerations we have to do during this time period. We have to be Zecher L'Mikdash, as we started. Zecher L'Mikdash, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayam. Everyone, Rosh Chodesh Adar, an announcement was made. Everyone should give money to the Beis HaMikdash to purchase Korbanos for the new year. That was the first thing. Then we have the second halacha of Mechias, Zechias, Mechias Amalek. We do this in the season of Purim, because Purim, Haman was from Amalek. Haman ho Agogi, Agag. Haman was an Amaleki. And the story of Purim is all about Mechias Amalek. So we do the mitzvah deraisa of Zechias, Mechias Amalek the week before Purim. Parshas Parah. It's a strange thing. The whole Parshas Parah, we have to remember Pesach is coming up. We have to be metaher ourselves. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have Parah Aduma. No, Zecher LeMikdash. Everyone, it takes 7 days to purify yourself. What is the Parah Aduma? Tumas Meis. You have to give yourself time to be able to be eligible to the Korban Pesach. You need tahara. It takes 7 days. Parshas HaChodesh. The calendar begins, and this is a very important month for many different reasons. So we have a Parsha Chodesh. But my Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai, why do we group them in the Dalit Parshas? So I want to suggest to you there's a very important relationship between the four. Let's focus now on the cornerstone. The cornerstone is really Parsha Zohar, because Parsha Zohar is the mitzvah Mechias HaMolek. But there's a mitzvah deraisa, and that is the end of a Purim. But you cannot come to Zechiras Mechias HaMolek unless you're prepared for battle. We are not going to battle today. But we have to at least do something to remind us what it's really all about. You need shkolim. Because shkolim, when you're giving the shkolim, the method of giving shkolim, it's a draft. It's a draft for the army. Gius. It's a draft. Everyone has to come together. Who are you counting? Oiver al hapikudin. 20 and up. Males. Women don't go to war. Time Chazal, women don't go to war. They don't go to war, the women. Only the males, 20 and up. The tzava, it's the same language that is used in Chumash Bamidbar, describing the tzva of those who went to fight Melchemes Midian, to go fight the Melchemes Rishus in Chumash and Chumash Devarim. It's 20 years and up, males. We have to know how many soldiers you have. And there's a flavor in Parsha Shkolim of a call to serve in the army. And that is something which is essential to prepare our frame of mind to come to the second of the Dalet Parashiyos of Mechiyas Samoa. And then after, what happens next?
Simpler,
what?
Simpler connection about in the story about the preemptive Shkolim, right?
What do you mean? Why preemptive Shkolim? What do you mean?
Because
okay, that's a side point. That's a medrash. Okay. I want to focus. The medrash is that Purim Shkolim. Rambam is saying, why do I need all this? Why don't we just say that Shkolim is all for Purim? It's all a preparation. It's all a preparation for Purim. Okay, I nechanami. You'll say the reason why it's called that's the trouble. What about the next one? Rambam is saying that the reason why Shkolim is part of Zohar is because in the story of Purim, Haman paid Achashverosh 10,000 talents of silver as the cost of eliminating the Jewish people. He paid for their value.
Which equals
600,000 and half shkolim. He paid whatever the cost was to eliminate the Jewish people. So therefore Hashem says to Haman, the Jews came before you. They already gave that amount of money for the Mishkan and in the merit of the Jewish people donating an enormous amount of money for the cost of the Mishkan and for the Korbanos, that was a preemptive atonement for your zeal and diligence in paying the same amount of money for their destruction. Their shkolim kodmu preempted your shkolim. Okay, I stand down. That is the Chazal is the ikar. I want to present to you a drush. In the drush, I'm presenting you what is the nusach here of Kisa's Roish Veshol Lifkudehem. What's this language? Kol Ha'oiver Al HaPekudim. This is language of war. It's language of war. We will find in Chumash Bamidbar and Chumash Devarim. Yeah, that's right. It's not just a matter of where the money goes to buy the korbanos. It's a matter of you're being called to serve. What are we being called to serve for? What's the war? Where are we going? You're going to fight Amalek. No, we're not. We're not going today in the 21st century to fight Amalek. Okay, but at least the most that you can, put yourself in a frame of mind of what it means to be a soldier. To be a soldier and be willing to be Meiser Nefesh for Hashem, to give up your life for Hashem in battle against the forces of evil. This is a call for war. Parashat Shkolim is a draft. Where are we going? We're going to deploy in 2 weeks. We're going to deploy in Parshas Zohar. Then what comes next? Let's say we're Zohar to survive the war. When you go to war and you get used to killing people, life becomes cheap. When you see death all around you, and you see suffering, you come home, life is cheap. You need now, after the war is over, if you win the war, you need to purify yourself. In war, there's death. Tumas Neis. And Tumas Neis needs the Para Aduma to be Metaher Tumas Neis. Go to war. It's inevitable. Okay? They keep on saying on the news, how do you know they're going to war? How do you know that Russia is really serious? Because they built a hospital on the battlefield. That's what they kept on saying. So what? So you want to make believe, you'll make believe. You'll build a hospital. Doesn't mean, no. You don't build a hospital unless you're really serious. They built a hospital. That means they're really going to go to war. Okay, that's what they said in the news. So war, there's death. There's blood. There's tumah. After the war is over, you need a paraduma to be metaher from tumas meis. And then it's a new world. After you eliminate the forces of evil, and after you mitar yourself, ha'chodesh hazeh lochem roish chodoshim, rishruhu lochem l'chodshe hashana hischadshus. It's a new world order. That's an ugly term. he right away. What?
Unless it's the New World Order of Melech
HaMashiach. Oh, that's what I meant. That's what I mean. It's the New World, the real New World, not the nonsense. It goes on. The real New, the Melech HaMashiach. HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem Roish Chodesh Rishoshchem, so New Hashem's World Order. So what I'm just trying to suggest over here is that it's a question. It's a question over here. Why over here are there four? Are there four different parashios? There is a method to the madness. The four parashios are all the centerpiece. The centerpiece of the Dalid of the Dalid parashios is Mechias Amolek. Mechias Amolek is the Muhammad of Yos HaMashiach. It's Goygu Magog, according to many. Goygu Magog is the Muhammad Amolek, to wipe out the force of evil. And we're going to read about this, and that's Purim, because Purim is Agagi, Haman Hu Agagi. And Haman Hu Agagi, he appears every year in a different form. Haman Hagogi is always out there, always threatening colonies from the Hashmel Harugula Abe. And this time of the year, we have to remember, there's a mitzvah Mechias HaMolech. And in Hachana for that, you just don't come to shul and smile and listen to the parasha. You come to shul in your uniform. You come to shul in your uniform, your beret, or your weapons, all ready to go. How do you get into the uniform? How do you fit into the uniform? You got to go on a diet. You got to get in shape. You gotta get in shape. Push-ups. To get into shul, you have to do 100 push-ups to get into shul. You gotta get ready. When do we get ready? When does the draft begin? When does basic training begin for the war? This Shabbos. This Shabbos is basic training. The miluim, you called up to serve. Kol ho'iver al ha'pikudim. The terminology is not, okay, we're taking donations. Everyone raised their hand. Who's gonna give machsa shekel? Call ho'oyver al ha'pekudim, males, 20 years and up. Get ready, battle stations. It puts you in a different frame of mind. Then we go to war. And when the war is...
I wanted to say, the Lashon is the same. You know, what you said was, the Lashon is the same by call by Mais Be'ema, call Asher Yavor Takas HaShobet, Yia Kodesh. That's the same. In other words, you have to sanctify yourself, get yourself ready to give your life.
Okay, there's another approach. It's similar. Okay, it's another dimension. You're getting ready for war. Same language, yeah. You're getting ready for war. But it's also mainly the same language used in Chumash Devarim by Melchemes Midian. Melchemes Midian and Melchemes Mitzvah in Chumash Devarim. And then after the war is over, you have to retire yourself from the tumah of Mace. And when Paradum doesn't just include Tahara, to the value of life. After there's so much death, person has to be mechazik himself and appreciate the value of life. And when all of that is done, then we can start all over again, a new world order of Hashem's Malchus and the Melech HaMashiach. Okay, that's one topic. Now let's go just to some other quick things. We have also, this week we take out two Sifrei Torah. Now it's very interesting. Why do we take out two Sifrei? This year, we're learning Vayakel. And we just roll back a little bit. We only have to go back a small amount to the beginning of Parashas Kisi. Sometimes even better. Sometimes you can be learning Parashas Shkom, Parashas Tetzaveh, and then the next Aliyah in the Sefer Torah is Kisi. So you don't even have to be goyel anything. This year, if you only have one Sefer Torah, let's say you should only have one Sefer Torah. How much already do you have to be goyel? Very little. Just one parasha. All you have to go back, actually, there's two parashas. You're going back to the beginning of Kisis. Okay, two parashas. Now let me ask you a question, simple question. What takes longer? To be Goylel this week, from the end of Ayakel to the beginning of Kisisa, or to do a Hagba Galila? Take out another Sefer Torah. That itself takes 5 minutes. Vayihi bin Soya Horoin, right? You see? Vayoy Mer Moshe Kumo Hashem, right? Say, I take out another Sefer Torah. And you put on the keser, and you have to walk around. You got to settle the second guy down. Hagba Galila, the mishrech for the magbia, the hagoyel, and then everyone sit down, take out the other sefer Torah, and you know what's going to happen? Probably the second sefer Torah is not in the right place. So anyway, after the goyel, that's such a bushu chlima. Could you imagine if you take out the second sefer Torah, it's not in the right place? The only reason why you took out the second sefer Torah is some covered at tzibor. You should not have to be goyel. And yet, half the time you take out the second Sefer Torah, it's not even in the right place. So what was the purpose of doing this? Why do you take out two Sefer Torah? So you shouldn't have to be goylel the Sefer Torah. What's so terrible being goylel the Sefer Torah? Kivoit Hatzibur. It's a disgrace that the Tzibur should be twiddling their thumbs when on the Bima they're being goyal over Sefer Torah. So that's why we take out two Sefer Torah. The second Sefer Torah is ready to go. So what happens in your shul if you know in advance? What happens in your shul if you know in advance that the second Sefer Torah is holding by Bereshis? They would not goyal the Sefer Torah since Simchas Torah, and they use the other Sefer Torah for Chosin Bereshis, and you now open up the Arna Kodesh, you have two Sefer Torah. One is Parshas HaShavua, the second one has not been rolled since Chumash Bereshis. So there's going to be a lot of Tirchot Tzibura when you come to the second Sefer Torah, you have to go to the Sefer Torah. Why don't we just take out one Sefer Torah, and when we finish laying Parshas Vayakel, we'll just roll it back to Parshios, not so much, and we'll be ready to go. Where is there less Tirchot Tzibura? There's less Tirchot Tzibura with one Sefer Torah than with the second Sefer Torah. If you'll tell me that Parshas, it's very rare. How much you have to be goyel even in the worst possible year, in the worst scenario. I mean, how much already do you have to be goyel already? Yet the minhag olam is to take out a second sefer Torah, even if you know in advance that the second sefer Torah is in worse shape than finishing Parashas Vayakeh. That is the minhag Yisrael. Now you should be aware, not everyone does that. It's talking to you, cites okay, in the Rabbi Tesner, he cites that there are kihilos that do not take out a second Sefer Torah for Parsha Shkol. There are kihilos that do not do it. They do not do it. Why not?
Even where they have to,
he cites here in minhagim you've seen in kihilos in Eretz Yisrael where they do not take out a second Sefer Torah for Parshas, even when they have a whole Aron HaKodesh, they do not take out a second Sefer Torah. If the reason why you take out a second Sefer Torah is because of Tirchot Tzibura, even like by us, let's say you have a Gaba like a Baruch, it probably never happened by you with the Sefer Torah was not going to look to the right place. Is that a true statement? Plead the fifth. It's true. Could you imagine? 42 years never happened. Rabbi Zitzholz, they opened up the Aron, they took out the Sefer Torah in the wrong place. When you have a Gabbai, like a Baruch, it doesn't happen. Unbelievable. So there are many shuls in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't take out what are you taking out a second Sefer Torah? There's more. If the whole time is only because of Tirchot Tzibura, what are you gaining by taking out a second Sefer Torah? There's even more Tirchot Tzibura. And especially when you add to the equation that it's not even an ideal thing to ever take out a sefer from the Aron. It's people today they don't realize how chomer it is. So you don't just move around sefer Torah on the base of it. So they bring to the base of the sefer Torah. Moshe was so makbid on this. You don't do that. You can't just take a sefer Torah to a base of it. You have to lay the hell. You have to lay three times. He was very makbid on this. Three times. A Sefer Torah has to have an oroi. You can't bring a Sefer Torah to a bias and just wrap it in a talus. It's a bizoyim, a terrible bizoyim. A Sefer Torah has to have an oroi, a makom miyuchot, has to be there laid three times. The oilim is not so makbid.
So Misaskim came to care for that.
Misaskim does a very, Misaskim, they have an oroi to every Sefer Torah.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. They have small Sefer Torah. They're very, a small Sefer Torah is much more expensive than a big sefer. It's much harder to write. To write a sefer like a mezuzah is very, very hard. It's very expensive. Very expensive. And every sefer Torah has an aron.
But you save on the parchment.
On the parchment. The amount you save on the parchment, it's true. But the amount that you save on the parchment does not offset the skill of a sefer to write very small. Doesn't offset. You save on the parchment, but there's a fact. It's, the small sefer Torah are a lot more expensive. A lot more expensive than the standard size Sefer Torah. You have to have an Aron. It's not so posh to take a Sefer Torah out of the Aron. You don't just do that when you can get away without doing it. It's not a civil matter at all. So if you don't need Itan because Tichud Tzibur, what's going on here? What exactly are you doing? So in Echadam there were kihilis that did not take out a second Sefer Torah. By us, we do it no matter what. That's the way we live today. Why? Why do you do it? So Rabbi Tezni says two things. I'm not sure. I'm telling you, it's not necessarily what he says, but he says something very interesting. One thing at a time. First thing he says, it must then be the reason why it's the common minhag Yisrael, take out a second Sefer Torah, is to awaken in the eyes of the tzibur the importance of this matter. You're right. You can get away with it. You don't need to do it. In fact, if you'd only had one, if you time it on the clock, if you start dining at 9 o'clock, and let's say you end at 9:15 with two Sefer Torah, guarantee you'll end at 9:10. If you start at 9 o'clock and end at 11:15 with two, guarantee you'll end 11:10 with one. It's less tzichut tzibur. So why do we do that? So he says, because in order to impress, it is the minhag Yisrael, even though there is no tirchut tzibura, let's tap a void. It's a nayuda, a new chiddush. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, anywhere in Chazal, but Chazal, the Klal Yisrael, it's a minhag Yisrael, is in order to impress upon the tzibur the chashivas hadavar, the importance, zecher lemikdash, the pashup shot of why we lay machsa shekels, why? Zeichel Mikdash. Zeichel Mikdash. Think about it. That's what it's all about. I mean, we said we had a whole drush. It's because of the army. But the basic reason is Zeichel Mikdash. Zeichel Mikdash is so important. It's kedai to take out a separate Sefer Torah to impress upon the tzibur how choshev this is. We say for 49 days, we make a bracha. What are you talking about? What Omer? What are you talking about? Omer? There's no Omer. What are you doing? Zecher lemikdash. He wrote said milfanecha shem lekeinu 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 sheyachzer what do we say by sheyachzer and the nusach right the nusach of Sviyasa Omer. He wrote said right after that the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt. It's zecher lemikdash. Sukkis. Zecher lemikdash. By the Seder. Koyrech. Kachoy Hillel, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash, Zeichel LeMikdash, Zeichel LeMikdash, Kehillel, Kachoy Oisel, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash, Yekayim, Koyrech Matzim Mar B'Yachad, Lekayim Mashnemer, Al Matzim Rem Yechlu. It's Kedai, the Beis HaMikdash, that we dive in every single day, Yirotzeh Melchonecha, Shemuchim, Lekayim, Sheyvone Beis HaMikdash, V'mher of Yomeinu, to take out a separate Sefer Torah. Okay, that's what Rabbi Tezner says. Okay, I think that really says it all. That says quite a bit. Then he says something very interesting, and I can't decipher what he says, what he really means by this. He says something very interesting. He says, sometimes, what happens? Sometimes, we'll have to figure this out together, this idea, where Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos. Every once in a while, Parshas Shekolim is three Sifrei Torah, right? There are three Sifrei Torah. So what happens when there are three Sifrei Torah? What is the Seder? First is the Parshas HaShavua, then is Rosh Chodesh, and then is Shekolim. Now let's make believe it's not Rosh Chodesh. There are two Sifrei Torah. So what are you going to say? You need to take out another Sefer Torah. Come on. It's in the same place. Just roll back. It'll take you a second. You're right there. You don't have to roll the whole Sefer Torah. Okay, we'll take out one Sefer Torah. Fine, mask. Let's say it's also Rosh Chodesh. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? It's Rosh Chodesh. Okay, look at this. We're going to take out one Sefer Torah to lay in the Parsha. Lay in the Parsha. What do you do now? When you finish learning the parasha, you learn six aliyos. Oh, the seventh aliyah is Rosh Chodesh. Is there tircha de tzibura? You bet there is. This you can't avoid. This you have to go from parshas, whether it's going to be tzave, tumah, tzave, vayak, or kisitsa, vayak, bukudei, to go from these parashos to Rosh Chodesh. You got to go through the whole Vayikra, and most of Bamidbar. Oh, so you need another Sefer Torah. Okay, take out number two. Take out number two for Rosh Chodesh. Now, what's the maftir? Back to Kisisa. Oh, let's take the first Sefer Torah. You can't do that. Why can't you do that? I don't know exactly why, but you can't. I remember you're not allowed to do that. You can't go take back the first Sefer Torah. It's a bezayin for the Sefer Torah.
On Simchas Torah, you do.
If you don't have. No, that's only when you don't have. If you don't have, you have no choice. Then you break all the rules. Okay, we're talking what you have. You have an Aron Kodesh full of Sefer Torah. You live in an area with multi-millionaires, everyone has a Sefer Torah. You have no problem. Are you allowed to do that? No way. That you can't do. It's a bezoin to the Sefer Torah. This is not a library here. You lane from the Parshas HaShavua. You close it. Hag Baglil. You then lane from the second Sefer Torah for Rosh Chodesh. And now I need to lane Parshas Shkolim. Once I already close the first Sefer Torah, and I have available another 50 Sefer Torah, you don't go back and open up the first Sefer Torah. There's a bezoin to the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, you don't just close, open. You open it, you read from it, and you close it. That's it. Don't abuse it. Now I have another Sefer Torah for Rosh Chodesh. That's the halacha. I must take out another Sefer Torah for Rosh Chodesh because of Tircha D'Tzibur. Now I have to go back. I'm going to take the first Sefer Torah, open it again, and do another Hag B'Galila? That's not right. It's just not right. So when you have, let's say, for example, it is Parshas Tetzaveh, it's Parshas Shkolim, and it's also Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So it's perfect. Go take the first Sefer Torah. If you have a third Sefer Torah, don't. It's just not the right thing to do. So you have no choice in this situation, even when it's Parshas Tetzaveh, to take a third Sefer Torah. Even though there wouldn't be a Tircha D'Tzibura. Therefore, if I'm not mistaken, this is what he's alluding to by Tezner. He says, Loi plug. If the calendar would be such that it would never ever happen that Rosh Chodesh can come out, Rosh Chodesh Adar can come out on Shabbos, then you know what? For Parsha Shkolim, the Takana would be one Sefer Torah. Because there's no Tircha D'Tzibura. It's ridiculous. There's no Tircha D'Tzibura. It's not going to happen. There is no. That's a fact. 11:15, 11:10. It's much quicker to be Golo one Sefer Torah right then and there when you're only going one parish and then you're going to Sefer Torah. But because it happens every so often that there are Shabbos Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, you must take out three Sefer Torah even in the best circumstance. Because it's a zilzul to go back to Sefer Torah number one. Oh, it's too confusing for the common man. This year we take out two Sefer Torah, one Sefer Torah. And this year we take out three Sefer Torah. What's going to happen if we only take out one Sefer Torah every year? So when it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we'll take out two Sefer Torah. We'll do Hagba Galila on the Sefer Torah number one, and then we'll go back and we'll open up Sefer Torah number one a second time.
Why do
Hagba Galila? You have to, because you have to close it. You have to Hagba Galila. You have to make room for the second Sefer Torah.
No, you have one Sefer Torah.
Oh, if you only have one Sefer Torah, you take
the
Tzibur.
That's the solution to the whole problem.
You have to go to Rosh Chodesh. That's the point. In a regular year, ideally, we really should only need one Sefer Torah. But what's going to happen next year? Next year, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. So we're going to say, last year we took out one Sefer Torah. So this year, it's Rosh Chodesh, we'll take out two. What's going to happen? You're going to lay in the Parashas HaShavua, Hag V'Galila, and then you're going to lay in Rosh Chodesh from Sefer Torah number two, and then you're going to go back and take out and return to Sefer Torah number one. You're not supposed to do that. That's not Derech Eretz for Sefer Torah number one. It's an abuse.
Can you go out to use it from Rosh Chodesh going to
You're never supposed to be goylel. That's the reason why we take out more than one Sefer Torah. So you should not have to be goylel.
Let's say you need three Sefer Torah.
Yes.
But you only have two.
I'm not discussing when you only have, that's what Rebbe Baruch says. Then you have no choice.
No. So which one should you go?
The first one. You go back to number one. You go back to number one.
You do go back
yes,
to number
yes.
one?
Yes, yes. You do go back to number one.
Because
it's closer. The fact that you have less to be goyel overrides the bizarre you're going to do the Sefer Torah. You make a good point. Once already, I learned from Rosh Chodesh, so just roll back the Rosh Chodesh to the third one. No, the halach is because you have time. There are other factors. There are other factors that are taken into consideration. If you have only two Sifrei Torah, then, and you need to learn from three Sifrei Torah, then for number three, you're going to go back to number one for other considerations. I don't want to discuss case where you have shortages. We're not dealing with shortages here. Let's discuss a situation where you can do whatever you want. You have an unlimited number of Sifrei Torah.
If I have only two and I need three, is I can go say for number one, to where I need for sake of number two. I know it's a long.
Yeah.
And number three is already prepared for what I need.
What am I? You only talking about number two?
No.
Are you getting me confused with the facts?
You're switching around.
We're limited on time. We're limited on time now. Let's discuss right now for the moment where you have an unlimited supply of Sifrei Torah. So what do we do in Parashat Shkolim? We take out two Sifrei Torah. Why? It's ridiculous. The only reason why you take out two Sifrei Torah is because of Tircha D'Tzibura. There is more Tircha D'Tzibura this week by taking out two Sifrei Torah than by taking out one Sefer Torah. The amount you have to be goyel is so small, there's a greater Tircha D'Tzibura by taking out two Sifrei Torah than by taking out one Sefer Torah. So what are we doing this week? So we gave one answer. One answer we gave was, you're right, there's an entirely different reason that it doesn't say anywhere, and this Rabbi Tezner says, is to show Klal Yisrael the chashivos of Zecher LeMikdash. Zecher LeMikdash. What is it all about? That was our first answer. Another answer. This is a novel answer. This is a chiddush otzam. He doesn't really say this. I'm trying to say this, but he alludes to this. He says, Loi plug. What do you mean, Loi plug? What does it mean, low plug? Let's say we will accept your argument. It's more Tircha D'Tzibur this week to take out two than to take out one. Okay, we'll listen to you. We'll take out one Sefer Torah. We'll lay Parshas HaShavua, and then we'll roll back a little bit, and we're going to lay Parshas Akisisa. Okay, fine. Gezum Tehet. Now, what's going to be next year? Might be next year that Rosh Chodesh Ad will be on Shabbos. So what... This year, we learn from one Sefer Torah. So when it's going to be Rosh Chodesh next year we'll learn from two Sifrei Torah. How is that going to work? We're going to learn from the first Sefer Torah, the Parashas HaShavua, from the second Sefer Torah, Rosh Chodesh, and then we're going to go back to the first Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to do that. If you have in the Aron the third Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to go back to the first Sefer Torah after you closed it up and wrapped it up with Hagba Galila. You can't do that if you have in the Aron HaKodesh the third Sefer Torah. Why not? Last year we only laid from one Sefer Torah, so in Rosh Chodesh we have laid from two Sefer Torah.
You can't change because of different circumstances? This year's not the same circumstances?
There is a general rule in many halachas. The Chazal like to simplify things. Loi plug. In order that there should not be confusion in a year when Shabbos will fall out on Rosh Chodesh, when you need to learn from three Sifrei Torah and you're going to mess up big time, so let's just make it very simple. Loi plug. Always learn from one, from two Sifrei Torah, even if you don't need to be goyel. I want to tell you some other ideas. There's another idea, and that is, it's very uncomfortable to go backwards. It's a very uncomfortable thing to go backwards. When it comes to the Haftorah, you even see today, there's a whole big table discussion, like Haftorah, not that long ago. Which Haftorah was it? I forgot. Mishpatim. It's not common to lay in Parshas, the Haftorah for Parshas Mishpatim. Mishpatim is usually Shabbos Shkolim. This year we lay in the Haftorah. For some reason, it's very rare. But this year we lay in the Haftorah for Parshas Mishpatim. and the end of the haftarah, it ended off with dover ra, something that's not so good. So in all of the chumashim b'li yoytzim v'naklal, it goes on, and if you learn from klaf, the extra psukim that are printed in the chumash are backwards. And that's what most people do. Most people, they go backwards. That you lay from that cloth, you finish, and you have to roll backwards. Rav Moshe Feinstein goes berserk over this. He says, no way. You're not allowed to go backwards. What it says in the Chumash is a big mistake. It's a whole teshuvah, and he tells you what you do is you have to go forwards, and he finds a section, a very long section, and that's what you lay from. I remember this happened when I davened many years ago, and I was laning, and I don't know if I showed this to the Rosh Shiva or he showed it to me, and we did what Rav Moshe said, and we laned. We did not do what it says in the Chumash. I don't remember then if we were laning from Klaf or from the Chumash. I think we laned then from, I don't remember, I really don't remember we laned from then, and we went forward. And people were, oh, what's going on? They tried to tell people in advance. This year, we did what it says in the Chumash. We just did like whatever, the ganze Welt, the whole Welt, this Pesach of Rav Moshe is not accepted. It's not accepted. No one does it. Everyone does what it says in the Chumash, and they go backwards. And the reason why it's permitted to go backwards is because the only, when Chazal said don't go backwards, it's only when you're going backwards as a chelek of the Etzem Kriya. But if the only reason why you're going backwards is because you don't want to be Messiahing B'dovah Ra, so those extra psukim, they're not really part of the Haftarah. They're just there that you should not end off with words that are not good, that are damaging, that are critical. So it's not part of the Etzem Kriya, then there is no violation of going backwards. The only other time that you have this issue is Shabbos Shuvah, when you're laying from three Nevi'im of the Trei Asar, and in most Chumashim it tells you that for number three you should go backwards. Today already the new Chumashim, the new Arshul Chumashim, they changed the order, only go forwards. Okay, and Chaim Malim, Rav Davin, many years, they learned from Klaf, and all the years, Shabbos Shuvah, they went backwards. I don't know what happened, but they decided to make a change after, I don't know how many years, 50 years, they decided to make a change, and now when they learn from Klaf, even Chaim Berlin from the Klaf, they change the order and they only go forwards. So I'm suggesting is, madach, when it comes to the Haftorah, there is something, this mamash osur. It's osur to go backwards. Now you'll tell me by the Nevi'im, things are in order? Not necessarily things are in order. Who says they're in order? Ein mukta muchavatar, we learn it all the time. The Tehillim is nothing's in order. Nevi'im are in order? Not necessarily. But if they're put in the book in this order, whatever the reason is, if that's how it's arranged in the Sefer, al pi ruach hakodesh, to be in this order, whether chronologically they happened in a different order, irrelevant. They're in this order. You don't go backwards. Al achas, kama v'kama, it's not right to go backwards. So, it doesn't say this anywhere. I'm just suggesting this. This week, what are you going to say? It says in the Gemara, and this, you can't have, this is a problem because the Gemara doesn't say any of this. All the Gemara says, you take out a second Sefer Torah because of Tircha Ditzibura. This week, there's less Tircha Ditzibura rolling backwards than taking out another Sefer Torah. So what are you talking about, Tircha Ditzibura? So there is no Tircha. So why then, and Taka? Rabbi Tesna says, I'll show you shuls in Eretz Yisrael. They only take out this week one Sefer Torah. But that's not the Minig Olam. The Minig Olam is take out two Sefer Torah. So you already given two reasons. I want to give you another reason. You know why you can't take out? You can't go backwards. You don't do that. In a Sefer Torah, you don't go backwards. Oh, you'll say, but it's a different Aliyah. It's Maftir. It's not part of the... Okay! But it's something that just doesn't look right. In a Sefer Torah, you go forwards. You don't go backwards. Now, a third reason, another, that's number three, number four.
We learned a couple of weeks, I don't remember when it was, we only had one Sefer Torah.
I told you, we're not discussing.
We had to go forward, right. And we said, don't do it.
Right now, let us discuss unlimited stuff. When you only have one Sefer Torah, that is a unique circumstance.
But then we said, because we don't want to go out of order, of the normal parshiyos.
Right.
You
normal
want to do is say
you don't have a choice. You only have one or two sefer Torah that you don't have a choice. You have to break the rules. That's life. COVID. Look what people did. One guy stands by the bima. He lanes everything. He gets all the aliyahs. Is this normal? You don't have a choice. This is what the situation is. We're not discussing unusual service. Let's discuss ideal situations. What are the rules in the ideal situations? Okay, another answer. Answer number four. Answer number four is, what is, Chazal say, that because of the honor of the tzibur, you take out another sefer Torah? What does that mean exactly? So the common man thinks, time. Amcha Yisrael tzrichim parnasa. The train, Avenue J, is leaving at 7:34 on the dot. You can't go on Monday. You can't play around with us over here. You take out the Sefer Torah Monday morning, you better have that Sefer Torah in the right place. The Baal Kriya better be standing there. Everything has to clockwork. You play games with me, I miss my train, I'll come after you. Sanctions if you mess with my time. Don't mess with my time. And then, what you know, it's very funny. People, they're so machpi. And davening is over. And then they sit and they schmooze for 2 hours. They schmooze for 2 hours. They walk home slowly and they stop watching the newspaper. I was thinking, you're in such a rush in davening. You went berserk. No. They push the spell. And then when davening is over, you have all the time in the world. What's the pshat? It's in the mind. Tircha Ditzibura has nothing to do with time. Tircha Ditzibur has to do with activity, idleness. If you have to roll the Sefer Torah and it takes 10 seconds, what is the Tzibur doing during those 10 seconds? They're idle. If you have to go and open up another Sefer Torah, do Halbagru, make 10 Mishaberachs, what are they doing during that time? They're busy. They're busy watching the show. They're busy doing things. Like people, you know, people go in the car. So you can go down this street, gridlock. You'll be there in traffic. You won't move for the journey will take you 10 minutes. But it's torture because you're gonna go at a snail's pace. But if you go this way, it'll take you 20 minutes, but you'll be going 60 miles an hour the whole time. A lot of people will take the 60, they'll go 20 minutes, 60 miles an hour, rather than go 10 minutes, 5 miles an hour. It's in the mind. It's not a matter of time. It's a matter of being idle. If you even know in your mind that after they finish Parashas Vayakel, they have to roll the Sefer Torah back for 10 seconds, and there's 10 seconds of idleness, it's torture. You can't deal with it. I would rather go do a Hagba Galila, with all the Misha Berachs, take out another Sefer Torah, and spend in the shul another 5 minutes, then activity, then the idleness of 10 seconds. It's Tircha Ditzibur doesn't mean time, it means activity. Don't let there be a moment in shul where there's idleness. Everything has to move. You have to move in life. Don't get stuck. Don't come to a point where you have a bottleneck. So Sach HaKol, we have presented four reasons as to why this week we are going to take out two Sifrei Torah, even though it says in Chazal, the reason why you take out a second Sefer Torah is Tircha Ditzibura, and there's no question, there's less Tircha Ditzibura this week with one Sefer Torah, they take out a second Sefer, because it's so short. What's the distance? You're going to finish Parashas Vayakel, you have to roll back 10 columns. 10 columns. How long does it take to roll back 10 columns? How long? 10 seconds? 15 seconds? 20 seconds? 30 seconds? How long does it take to make a Mishaberach for the Hamagbiyah of a Hagoylo? And catch your breath when the guy almost drops the Sefer Torah? And do the Hagba Galila, and then take out the other Sefer Torah, and put it on the bima, and go through the whole thing, and do another Hagba Galila? Come on. Why? Four reasons. The Iker reason I really like what Rav Tesner says is to show the Tzibur the Chavivos of Zecher LeMikdash. Parsha Shkolim deserves its own Sefer Torah. Number two, it's a longish reason. Loy Plug, because of when Rosh Chodesh will fall out on Shabbos. And then you really, really do need 3 Sifrei Torah. And if we're going to do from 1 to 3, the disparity, it's too much for the simple man to comprehend 1 and 3. Reason number 3, you don't go backwards. Oh, it happens once in a while. It's Parshas Tetzaveh. Maybe Loi Plug. Maybe the reason that you could also say Loi Plug, since either it's going to be Rosh Chodesh or it's going to be after Parshas Kisisa, Loi Plug. You don't go backwards. It's not a good thing to go backwards in the Sefer Torah. It's a very uncomfortable thing. And reason number 4 is because Tircha de Tzibura is idleness. Rolling a Sefer Torah, even for 10 seconds, is a bottleneck. You don't create a system. You don't set up a system where you have to encounter a bottleneck. You don't do that. Instead, you create the system where there are no bottlenecks. Each one has its own Sefer Torah. Okay, Rabbi said, we're going to stop here. Have a wonderful day. Rabbi Minyan? Amen.